Good to go.
You want me to start it?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, evening, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Corner. Our show tonight is on Black wellness. So I'm going to devote into a little information that I know. First of all, thanking the host, Rasha Keed, and co-host, Professor Amon Ra, and Brother Doctor, and whoever else tunes in. I don't profess to be a know-it-all in this area. I'm just going to share with the people stuff I know and stuff that I do for myself in that regard. Wellness is supposed to be the theme of Black History Month, from what I understand. So I'll just get started with that. There are several components involved in wellness, in my opinion, or four in particular, which is number one, diet, rest, exercise, no stress. And what people need to try to do is keep a balance with those things in your life. Hey, what's up, Brother Mashenda? And that's the thing about Ma'at. Ma'at is balance. And so it's kind of a difficult task for those of us that are still in the working world, because you're stressed with the job and getting up and, going and doing all that you got to be. Those of us that are retired have more freedom to make sure that that balance stays pretty right. But first of all, let me get to the diet part, which is most significant, I think, especially with Black people due to the number of illnesses that we that are upon us, with the diabetes and cancers and hypertension and whatnot. First of all, I want to say that everything pretty much that's white in color is bad for Black people. For example, salt. And when you look at packages in the store and you read sodium, sodium and salt is the same thing. Sugars. Okay. You need to try to find a substitute for those sugars. And let me say this. Those little things in those packets, I don't know what they call them, but that stuff is worse than sugar, in my opinion. Get the name of them. You know the little blue and
yellow.
Yeah, all that old mess. Then white potatoes, white bread, milk, dairy products, all of those things are not good for you. And I know people talk milk, but, once you get off mama's milk, you really don't need no more. I know we feed it to the kids and whatnot, but it develops a lot of mucus and whatnot in that regard. Also on the food side, that is a detriment, in my opinion, is red meat, beef and pork. The reason I say these things about the beef and pork and the white stuff is, that's the number one feeder of cancers. Cancer survives off red meat, dairy products, and sugars. I've studied under two chemists most of my adult life. Because my area is football and history, but I'm real close to a couple of chemists, and I've learned a lot from them, like over the years. I was I won't say fortunate enough, but I had had gout for years and really didn't know what it was till a cousin nurse of mine pointed it out to me. And so getting familiar with the things that cause gout kind of forced me into eating the way I eat now. Because, the red meats are definitely, build uric acid, which results in gout, which is very painful. I don't know if anybody that's listening has had it, but it's something that you do not want. Because when you get it, it's so painful. And, the medication that they use for it, it takes it about a day and a half before it even starts to work. And I've learned that gout also, got to start in your big toe, usually where it starts. And it moves up to your ankle, to your knee, it can move to your kidneys, move to your heart, move to your brain, but it's all a result of the same stuff that you intake. So that's why you need to eradicate it from your diet. I know it's tough, but I eat fish and chicken, try to bake them if possible, for the meat substitute for the protein, but also beans. Beans is a form of protein that can take the place of meat. I know I got sick one time. I didn't eat meat like for 8 days. And I was just eating beans and greens and cabbage and stuff like that. And after a while, I didn't even notice that, that I was going without the meat. But anyway, I was in a Juicy Juice shop the other day. I don't drink juice out of stores anymore. I go get mine free, squeeze fresh out of this shop called Juicy Juice, which is located over here in Carson. A sister owns the shop, and they squeeze the fresh juice right in front of you. And it was a sign on the wall by Dr. Scobie. Is that his name? The brother who passed recently, Rasha Key. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with him.
Dr. Sabi.
And he had a caption that says, "If it don't come from nature, don't put it in you." Okay. And in the food area, if you're buying out the stores, they kind of got you because stores, the companies that put products in stores, they put additives and preservatives on the stuff that make it last a long time. And, until it's bought and used, is what causes the damage to our bodies that we end up enduring. Sometimes it's soon, but oftentimes it takes years in order for it to build up and evolve into causing a problem. Okay. Also along the food thing is water. We don't drink enough water as Black people. And our bodies are a high percentage, at least 70% and above, made of water. So you have to put water into your system. And let me say this, water at room temperature is always best. There is oxygen in water. And when you heat it up or make it cold with ice, you take the oxygen out of the water. But I don't, you can't find a soda in my house. Don't fool with none of that anymore because of the high levels of sugar. All that juice in the store and them sodas ain't nothing but straight sugar. You might as well open up a bag of sugar, pour some water in, and drink it. That's pretty much what you get. Which is also a reason why a lot of these kids are developing these cancers at an early age from drinking all them sodas and all of that juice filled with sugar. Okay. Pretty, and then also on the food end, people have embolisms and whatnot, clots and what have you like that. I've learned that the root foods, onions, garlic, beets, turnips, the root foods can help your body deal with those things in terms of breaking them up and, you know, from the blockage that develops in your body. Anybody got a question on the food and the diet type stuff before I go any further? Mashinda, any comment in that regard?
No, I think you're dead on it. Keep going. You know, you're telling a lot of truth there. Like I say, I subscribe to a lot of what you're talking about and working on other things. But no, thank you. But anyway, I'm just listening. Go ahead. Thank you.
Brother Doctor?
No, I can just confirm, man, with that gout. You know, I have problems with it. And you're right, man. That pain, man. You just imagine 100-pound weight falling on your big toe over and over and over, man. Like you, man, I had to give up all that, you know, red meat, everything. I finally got rid of it a couple of years ago, man. I just had a mind where I get a flare up every 2 years. And yeah, you're right, man. When I first got it, went to the doctor. He didn't want to give me anything because, you know, that medicine they give you is poison, man, just straight poison. You get that stuff out your blood system. And he didn't want to give me anything, man. I sat in pain for 2 months straight. I mean, pain, every day for 2 months. So I finally went back to him. I just can't do the pain no more. He ended up giving it to me. And like you said, within a few days, man, it went away. Then I just get flare up. That was 2014, man.
You know, you got to also give up that shellfish too.
Oh yeah. I got it, man. I first got it, man. I traced it back to that fucking gumbo. Big old bowl of gumbo, man. And didn't know what it was. I just know my toe was hurting when the cheek touched it at night. And someone said, "Hey, you got gout." Yeah, it went away a few days, nothing of it. A couple of years later, major outbreak. That's when I was out for 2 months. And actually, just got when I got that freaking shot, man. When I got that fucking vaccine, I had a major outbreak like a week later. I won't be going and getting that third shot. I know that. But yeah, I just confirmed that gout, man. Yeah, I gave up everything, man. I had red meat, none of that crap. Even chicken, man. I cut all that stuff out, man. I just barely now eat little soups, little bowls of soups, man, and a lot of salad. And yeah, I missed the pastrami sandwiches, man, the chili cheese fries.
Well, you got to watch with that salad. You know, kale causes gout also.
Yeah, I just do a little spinach, man, and
no.
But I have no problem with spinach.
No.
That's it, man. Spinach and lettuce. See, with chicken, man, I can't do chicken that much. Chicken will give me gout. Fish will give me gout. Tuna gives me gout. Everything, man. I had to quit all that stuff. It's certain foods, man. Like I said, I know I found out it's different people. A lot of that stuff, man, all that meat messes with me, man. So I don't hardly do any meat, man. Even the beans. But made homemade chili, man. The beans, you know, all that protein in the beans, man. You know, gout is mostly the protein that's getting me. The beans are getting me, man. I can't do a lot of beans, red beans, black beans. Can't do a lot of that, man.
Anyway, I'm going to get back to you on that, especially on the spinach, because spinach evolves into uric acid also. I had to give that up also. Brother Rasha Key, any comment? Brother Doctor, you finished?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, hello. Yes. Brother Hembert?
Go ahead, brother. Any comments?
Yeah, it's a plethora of things that I do. I started dealing with a food nutritional researcher maybe about 30 years ago. And he was giving me a lot of information. He used to come to my classes and do presentations. And he would bring pictures of the inside the body and the causes of meat and different things that affects the body. So it was very interesting. And, you know, I was getting educated while we was educating students also. So I started looking at those type of things as far as nutrition. And then moving forward, I started dealing with the health food store in Compton, Dr. Paul Goss, that just passed away, his stores with the different herbs. And moving on to 2014, I met a doctor, a holistic doctor by the name of Dr. Bernard. He done a few shows on the podcast. And I did a full body cleanse. And when I did that full body cleanse, I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped all the meats, and all I eat is fish now. No alcohol, no meats. Right now, I make Irish sea moss I get product from Jamaica and Belize, and it helps the sea moss. I have turmeric, ginger, and lime in it, and it helps with the joints and inflammation, and it seems to help a lot of people. But going the natural way, I think is best. At least it's best for me. I haven't had any medications. I think I had a pain in my neck that wouldn't go away. I went to the doctor. They couldn't tell me anything. They just prescribed the pain medicine for it. It was, you guys probably know the name of it. I can't even think of the name of the medicine, but I took the medicine and I didn't feel right. And that had to be over 10 years ago. And then a buddy of mine is into the healing massage, but he doesn't do massage therapy. It's more so he has different certificates and all type of dealing with the body. And he came and worked on me. And after a few days, that pain was gone. And I stopped. I took the medication once and I stopped. So I haven't had any prescription medicine over 10 years. And I didn't take much prescription medicine before that. So dealing with natural remedies and things of that nature, I seem to be doing real well health-wise. Now, since the pandemic hit, I haven't been to my doctor. I usually go get a few numbers checked. But when I did that full body cleanse, I hit all of the major organs in my body, an 8 weeks cleanse, and my wife did it also. I went from 256 to 220 weight. All of my numbers was excellent when I went to the doctor. So I just advocate natural healing and things of that nature, herbs. You mentioned roots, Brother Hembrick, and the anything roots are real good, I think. So there's, you know, I'm still learning about the natural healing. So that's what I'm a stick with since it's been helping me throughout these years. And I'm 57 now, so doing pretty good, I would say. So that's about it, Hembrick.
Brother Ron? You're on mute. You're on mute. You're on mute, Brother Rock.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
First of all, I want to say, appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly, and I really appreciate all the comments that's been made and thus far. You know, as Brother Hendrick said, this month, Black History Month, the theme that is given annually by the National Association for the Advancement of the Study of used to be Negro life, but it's now African American life. They put out an annual theme for Black History Month, and it's Black health and wellness. And so as Brother Hendrick was saying, you know, on his on part one of his presentation dealing with diet, food, one of the major addictions to people is food addiction. And that food addiction starts at an early age. I mean, many kids get hooked on sugar based on Gerber baby food, you know, I mean, apple juice, big Gerber this, Gerber that. And next thing you know, they go through withdrawals. They start crying. And when you don't give them the sugar, you know, same thing with, as Joe says, it's not just what you eat, it's also how you prepare it. You know, and the prepare, and then after that, how you cook it. And what do I mean by that? Well, as Brother Hendrick was saying, you know, preservatives in the meat and in the food to make it last, to make it look green, or make it look fresh, or make it look red. is additives. A lot of that started before the animals even slaughtered. They found out that some chickens grew up so fast they grew up without feathers. And the commercial market still put them and sold them. The same thing with cows. They give them, shoot them so full of hormones, they keep a light on them so that they continue to eat and get big and big and big. You know, the hormones, and they have spider cancer in them and a lot of them be sick. Some of them even have COVID. So it begins with the food processing, and then it goes all the way into the seasoning. As Brother Joe was saying, you know, when you put salt, pepper, seasoned salt, even before you start cooking it and adding it to various foods. A lot of the pastas, lasagnas with the red sauces and, you know, Louisiana hot sauce is just salt. If you pour it on the ground, it just turns into salt. And but a lot of our people, another reason they season it, because it's not good to the taste, but, you know, they were forced to eat Euro-American, as Black people, we were forced to eat Euro-American food. And they gave us Gus the Chitlin, which was really spelled S-H-I-T-T-T-I-L-I-N-G, before they changed it to C. And because it's Gus, and it's, and reading the tape, 2 and 3 hours to clean, you have to clean them and let them soak to get the stench off of them. And but people still eat them every New Year's. And they put a lot of hot sauce on them. It's nothing but salt. So, but and it's allowed us to kill the taste or to give it a different taste. Whenever you add something to something, you're altering the natural taste of it. Fruits that are grown organically and vegetables that are grown organically, they have a natural flavor. They have natural salts and natural sweetnesses already there. And when you add to it, you not only change the taste of the food, but you alter it. And it has a biological effect on some people. Some people have food allergies, you know, and they have to get, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to tell people don't, you know, with nuts, with fish, and things of this nature. But the point is that, so the first thing is the pre-preparation of the animals or the vegetables that you eat. That has a lot to do with your health. The second thing is the preparation, the seasoning. Then do you cook it? And most Black people, if you can fry a boot, they'll eat it. You know, you put flour on it and fry it, you know, whatever it is. French fries and all of that, you know, potato chips, Fritos, all of that fried foods. And people don't know that. They just think that if you get it out the bag, it's natural, but, you know, somebody fried it. And that would mean that grease and saturated fats is all within it. And it'll tell you on the bag those things. And so, you know, and what you cook it in has a lot to do with it. The type of water you use, you're cooking it all the way through. And then at the same time, true vegetarians will tell you that if you cook food, you cook the nutrients out of it. And a lot of them like for you to, you know, don't cook it so well done. You know, cook it a little bit if you want to, but at the same time, they'd rather you eat it raw. So eating is a very important thing. It's a very touchy subject to many people, because once, you know, it's like telling a crackhead, don't hit the pipe. You know, he's, hey, man, get out of here. Give me that pipe. And the same thing when you tell people, you know, you shouldn't eat food this way or that way, this way. They, hey, man, stay off my plate. You know, I've been eating this. My mama ate it. My daddy ate it. And they lived to be 60, 70. Just leave me alone. In the movie Soul Food, the mama died early in the movie because, the diet, as Joe was saying, but at the same time, you know, trying to get people off a Western diet because they eat what white people eat. You know, if we go to the continent and go to the islands, they eat totally different. Most of them are vegetarians or food gatherers and food gatherers versus people that go and purchase food, you know, through commercialization and exploitation to make more money. They put stuff in the food to stretch it or to make it grow faster or different just to make more money. And so, you know, you sometimes have to do a lot of research. And we need to get more books on eating and eat from the standpoint of a military association with preparing your body for struggle. Eat, you know, as athletes, we got in shape to play the sport. Now we have to get in shape to live longer and to struggle for our liberation. So I want to say I agree with your diet is very crucial, but it's not put as a priority as it should be. And educational dynamic that should be a part of the home and part of our day-to-day practice. It would add longevity to our life and the lack of illnesses in all categories, if we would do that. So the whole purpose of Black History Month is to begin to focus on that. Because of COVID, they begin to look at health and wellness, not just with COVID, but generically and holistically. And they begin to see the importance of us doing things to make us healthy. And the number one thing is, of course, that diet, and that is the abuse of eating, the compulsions of eating, just eating just because it's there. Like people say, you know, I just eat seafood. If I see it, I eat it. You know, that's what they mean. And so we must begin to develop a different strategy and approach to our people. It's one thing for us individually to change and become disciplined. And you, that's important. But it's also important that we train our kids and train and make educational availability and support, food support system, eating support system, as a major educational component in our lives. Right now, we just go to work. We, you know, I would think, get a job. But what good is it if you're going to die at 30 years old, 35 years old, or be an African or have diabetes by the time you're 40 or 50, you know? Can't even get to retirement age. So, Asante, Joe, I'll let you continue with your strategy.
Thanks, brother. A couple more things I want to deal with while I'm on the food subject. One thing that I've learned, when you buy, you know, if you have to buy out of the store, fruits and vegetables, you know, they spray stuff on that stuff while it's out in the field. And I've learned from a chemist friend of mine that if you put those things in a sink and fill it up with water and put like 3 tablespoons of salt in it and squeeze a lemon in it, you can wash off the solution that was sprayed on there while it was growing. And slush it around a while and then wash it off, and all of the stuff that they sprayed on it should be gone. There's one more thing I want to talk about on the nutrition side, like people with cancers, and they're going to receive treatments. You know, it's hard for them not to listen to doctors and whatnot. But let me just put this out there. You know, they talk about your red blood cell count and your white blood cell count. Well, carrot juice produces red blood cells. Okay, and when they're giving you the chemo and radiation, they're killing good cells trying to get the cancer cells, okay? And if it said that your white blood cell count is low, onions and garlic, that's what they produce, white blood cells. So I just wanted to put that out there for anybody that knows anybody that's going through a treatment, if they, you know, can make that adjustment from what they're being told about their red and white blood cell count, those are the two things you can use to straighten it out. And plus washing off the, you know, fruits and vegetables that you do buy. Moving right along to the other three aspects, and I'm going to kind of go through these kind of rapidly, is the exercise. And you don't have to get ready for the Olympic team or the NBA or NFL. Just regular walking, a brisk walk, and light exercise is good enough for people. I know if I'd have known about this years ago, all them years I was jogging, because the knee joints are not made to land on the ground. You increase your weight by 660 pounds whenever that foot lands from a jog. So walking is good, and light exercises and stretching. Okay. And I don't, you guys know this as being former athletes. After you work out, you know, you feel so much better. And what you're actually doing is sending your body through a minor cleanse from the sweat that you produce when you exercise. So exercise is real good. And matter of fact, you can overdo that too, you know, so you kind of got to put a balance in with your exercising and then your rest. If you do all that without getting the proper amount of rest, you kind of throw your body out of balance. And remember, the thing is keeping balance with all four of these components. And then the last one is no stress, which being Black in America is hard to kind of manage that one. Some people do yoga, it's good for that. But what we need to cease and desist from doing is self-medicating with those alcohol that's dealing with stress, because that alcohol turns straight to sugar, which compiles your, you know, your likelihood of developing diabetes. And brother doctor, I don't know if you know that anybody that has gout, if you have a gout attack and you drink some alcohol, you're really asking for trouble. It really intensifies the acuteness of the pain when you do that. So the thing we got to do as a people is try to keep these four components in balance with ourselves. And we can prolong our lives. We'll feel better. Keep your weight down. And the number one sign of telltale that shows that you have a problem is your blood pressure. If your blood pressure is off, something's jumping off. You need to jump on it and deal with it. If you keep that blood pressure where it should be, then you're in pretty good shape. So I know I kind of ran through those last three. And the mental health, the stress, you know, we have so much on us. And, you know, we don't have enough people in the field, in my opinion. I know when I was working, I used to try to get mental health services for the kids, because our kids in these schools today were coming from a really poor home life situation, you know, group home, foster home, and stuff like that. And a lot of pressure on them from that neighborhood identity of not being supportive of the neighborhood that you come from can be real stressful on a kid. So, you know, I worked with, forget that lady's name, at Centennial. We tried for 8 years, and we could get a few people, but rarely could we find some people that were of the ethnicity that the students are. And that's what I was trying to get rolling my last few years of working. So anyway, I guess I'm about through with my presenting stuff for the night. But those four components: diet, exercise, rest, and no stress. And the rest, when you exercise, you need to rest, because you're actually breaking muscles down and stuff when you exercise. When you rest, those things are building back up. So anyway, appreciate the opportunity to present. Let me just say this also, and then I keep saying that, but hopefully I'll make this the last one. I've learned that our bodies are getting rid of dead cells constantly. Okay, we're constantly getting rid of dead cells by putting in the proper things that we should be putting in our bodies. You develop healthy cells. Okay, healthy cells evolve into healthy organs, and that's the philosophy in a nutshell right there. But when you're putting in synthetic stuff that's not really food, you know, the cell development that you need is not really occurring. I take supplements also. I've been a Dr. Goff, and I've been a partner with Shaklee vitamins for years. I don't promote them. I don't sell them. I just know what it's done for me. And the people that brought me into it, how young they look at 80 to 90 years old and still looking great. So I take something for every internal organ I have, because the vitamins are nothing but foods, and it's 100% of what it's supposed to be. A lot of vitamin companies give you a little of the vitamin and a lot of filler. So, anyway, that's pretty much it on my presentation on this subject. Hope someone can use something that I've said. And going back around the table for comments. Again, Brother Mashenda, start with you first.
Yes, sir. No, again, I've just been a good listener tonight. Just want to thank you for presenting, you know, all what you've talked about. Again, is very helpful. You know, my own personal experiences, you know, haven't had any red meat in over 25 years, no milk, you know, everything white, like you say, the salt, got to watch that salt intake. Definitely read the back of products, you know, make sure you know what you're getting in your body. And then, you know, but anyway, everybody got to do a thorough investigation of themselves. But like I say, you've given out some good information. Everybody shared some good things. And thank you for sharing tonight.
Appreciate you. Brother Doctor, you're on mute.
Yeah, I agree. Everything you just said, man, it's just unfortunately, man, we learn about this kind of later on in life. You know, like I said, I didn't, this gal thing, that was, you know, I was getting close to 50. And yeah, so that whole thing changed my whole outlook, man, on what I eat. And, you know, because people don't realize, you know, like you said, we're all athletes, man. When you can't get up and walk, you know, it trips you out, and you know, it trips me out, man. We, you know, when I was having a flare ups, and you can't walk, you know, that's it's weird, man. And when it goes away, you're walking normal. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate we learn about this stuff late in life. Yeah,
it's better learn it late than never, brother Rasha Key.
Yeah. Now, one thing about when you're investigating your body and the things that can help it, it's good to know thyself. I know that you did two presentations on know thyself, and when you know yourself you pay attention to what you're putting into your body and how it's affecting your body. That goes a long way when you're paying really close attention. And you mentioned Shaklee. My mother introduced me to Shaklee as a kid. You know, a few little things she used to give me back when I was a child that helps with. I don't know if you're familiar with. That, what's the name of that Shaklee product? Herbalax.
Yeah,
she introduced me to that as a small kid, and she's, my mother's 86, and she's doing fairly well at her age, and she's been taking a lot of vitamin supplements for years, and she introduced me to B-Complex, and you talk about mental health. B-Complex seemed to help with your your central nervous system. And it helped me out a lot when I was going through some trials and tribulations back in, you know, when I was about 23, 24 years old. And when I started taking B-Complex, it kind of balanced my, you know, mental. Brother Curtis is coming in now. mentality to the point where I wasn't as, you know, nervous as I used to be. And so B-Complex is a very important vitamin that people should investigate, especially if they have nerve issues. And so Brother Curtis just joined. And Brother Curtis, we just at the end. Yeah. So, maybe Brother Curtis want to say something about health and wellness for Black people and people in general.
Before we let him in, Brother Rasha Key, let me just comment. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the Shaklee.
Yes.
This. I've been on that for 25 years, I guess. When I first got on it, you know, this brother who was teaching me how to play golf, and I was pretty big, man. And he told me, he said, man, you want to get that weight off of you, you need to get on this Shaklee. And I kind of blew him off like, yeah, man, right. So it took about 3 years before I listened to him. And I finally started taking it. He said, you take this Shaklee, you nibble through the day and eat a salad and baked potato at night, and you'll be fine. And when I guess I was AP at Compton High back then, and I had lost so much weight, people thought I was on the pipe or something. That weight just came off, you know. And so I've been sticking with Shaklee mostly, you know, since that time. And what I do, I take the Vitally, the two multivitamins. I take 2 B-complex. I take 2 garlic. I take 2 vitamin E with selenium. I take a C, and I take 1 zinc. I take a calcium magnesium. All the vitamins work together. I take a D3. I take 3 salt palmettos for prostrate. I take 2 lethicin, and I take 2 omega red, and I take 6 alfalfa. I'm starting to find that alfalfa has more nutrients in it than any plant that's out there. And then I take a half of an herb lax, like you said.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that Vitalia. My mother takes that Vitalia.
She's on the right track, brother. I don't push it. I don't because the guy wanted me to sell it, and I didn't want to try to convince people about all that. I just like to be an example before them because people can't believe that I'm 68 years old when they see me. So I found a nice balance that works for me, and I'm sticking with that from now on. All right, now you can deal with your partner there, Brother Curtis.
Know thyself. Okay. Brother Curtis, we didn't spoke about health and wellness. So if you want to add to that, you can.
Well, first, I apologize for being late, but I made it. And as far as health and wellness go, I mean, it boils down to what we've been taught. And what we've been taught, unhealthy eating. So we need to focus on, and I'm pretty sure you've covered it, how do we right the wrong? That's it. Thank you for the time and allowing me to say something.
Appreciate you, brother, and what you said. And just like the way we've been taught about everything, European, we need to reevaluate. The miseducation of the Negro goes a long way.
Yeah, yes.
Tell people all the time that we got to totally unlearn what we learned from them folks, because all of the bad stuff that associated with us, we learned it from them.
Yeah.
Prior to that, we knew nothing of that type of stuff until we learned it from them. So appreciating what you said. All right.
Thank you.
Brother Raw?
Evo, appreciate what's been said by understanding correctly. And again, Asante for the excellent presentation. I just want to add a few things to the whole concept of health and from a Black historical perspective and why the National Association for the Study of Negro Life or African American Life, Carter G. Woodson's organization, who is the father of Black History Month, our national theme is wellness and health. There's a lot of to health. Most people from a holistic standpoint look at health, not just physical with regards to diet, but also mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And that sometimes, as Joe was saying about having a balance, you have to have a balance within all three with regards to having what you call a healthy healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotions, and healthy spiritual components of yourself. And that makes up the self, all of those dynamics. But you have to also go through a social stratification aspect of it, of looking at statistics, data, as Curtis was saying, you know, we go by what we've been taught and where we put priorities on, you know, what's important, you know. And, you know, sometimes like now I'm Elijah Muhammad, like Rashi was saying, you know, know thyself, do for self. Well, I'm Elijah Muhammad wrote a book called Eat to Live.
Yeah.
Some people live to eat, and there's a difference. And so the Nation of Islam is always focused on a sense of healthy eating. They, you know, sometimes, you know, they go through their Ramadan, they fast, which is a cleansing, no sex and no food during the daytime and for 30 days. And then the same thing with regards to other organizations and ritualistic aspects for cleansing. I know that some of us go through 30-day fasts and all those type of things, which is good. But you also got to look at other social stratifications. And that's why what Brother Curtis said and what everyone is saying about we do what we learn. When you have, when you look at Black hospitals, how many Black hospitals do we have in America, just in the United States? You know, you go to Africa, there's plenty of Black hospitals. You go to some places in the Caribbean, there's plenty of Black owned and operated hospitals because that's all that's there. Most of our hospitals was home remedies from great-great-grandparents, and we've been practicing homeopathic treatments for years. Put alcohol on it, drink 3/6, all that type of stuff, castor oil to flush you out, all, you know what I mean? Parents did what they had to do because we didn't go to hospitals because of segregation and racism. So we had one time in this country, we had 500 owned hospitals that was either owned or controlled or managed by Black people. Now we only have one. That's Howard University. Howard University Medical Center, as a part of Howard University, that's the only one we got that's totally controlled. We used to have one in Inglewood. I forget the name of it, but they used to have a hospital. And you know, doctor's offices is different from a hospital. I'm not saying that we don't have doctors with clinics and dentists and podiatrists and people that look in your eyes and all that type of stuff, those type of doctors. But I'm talking about hospitals where you go and you get treatment, x-rays, labs, medical treatment, surgeries, and all that that's ran by Black people. And one of the criticisms by our social scientists is that, you know, we're going to people to treat us that hates us. I mean, institutionally wise. I'm not saying the white doctor do, but some Black people swear by their white doctors. I mean, the four women that's up for the Supreme Court, three of them are married to white women, white men, you know, along with Kamala Harris, you know, so. We think, oh, they're going to put a Black woman in. Yeah, well, if you don't do your homework, you'd be thinking, oh, how Black really are they? You know, they're married white. You know, I think the one sister that was married to a Nigerian, they kicked her to the curb. But the other three women, the one out of South Carolina, the one that Biden mentioned first, and this other one, they all married to white people. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that in the symbolism. But going back to health, there was one of the first hospitals in 1896 was in Chicago. Dr. William Hale, who did the first open heart surgery, was the one that opened up that hospital. Then, you know, we can go all back to ancient history. There were, you know, Imhotep who performed the first surgery and looked at as the father of Black medicine or medicine period, way before Hippocrates, because doctors have to take what they call the Hippocrates test. Anyway, the emphasis of health. It's hard to have a strong emphasis of health if you don't have practitioners being produced that argue that this is a key issue. I mean, you can get all the social justice you want, but if you're unhealthy, what good is it? You know, you can get all that money you want. What good is it, you know, if you're unhealthy? And so good health is very important. We look at the whole concept of the statistics of morbidity and mortality is the gauge to determine how healthy you are as a collective people. Morbidity is your illnesses and what causes your illnesses and how many of you died from these pathologies, not just COVID, but heart disease is one of the number one killers of Black people. Cancer is the second. Then you go into accidents, and then you go into, you know, overall murder is violent is way down the line until you get to that age 1 to 19. Then it becomes almost number one killer of Black people. It's overall, it's heart disease, you know, and it's all led to not just what you eat, how you prepare it, how you cook it, and what you do to digest it, to get it out your system, you know. That's what, you know, food softeners, the various forms. We used to drink prune juice and everything else, because constipation, people die on the toilet straining, because your heart, you strain your heart. You know, trying to get it out if you don't know how to have a good bowel movement or to make yourself have a good bowel movement. And, you know, you should have at least 2 or 3 bowel movements a day. You understand? To cleanse. And if you're not...
Professor Rob, let me interject here because there's... you mentioned it. You said bowel movement. And I just want to alarm everybody, there's a tactic that you could use that'll help your bowel movements, and it's called taking deep breaths. And my herbal doctor got me familiar with that. So that's taking nice deep breaths helps with bowel movements. Okay, Professor Rod, I just wanted to get that in before
I'm just saying the morbidity is the illnesses and the pathologies that cause death among you. The mortality is your infant mortality rate and your life expectancy. You know, we have lost years in life expectancy recently. But, and a lot, some of it is caused by COVID, but most of it is caused by, as Joe was talking about, the lifestyle. That we have, the things that affects your body, and as Ross T was saying, your central nervous system. But the whole point is that the wellness and Black wellness and health is a very critical perspective that should be more emphasized. What you brothers are talking about, healthy eating, healthy lifestyles, relieving stress, all of that's important. But it doesn't do any good if we don't teach it to our children, our loved ones, and make it a part of our curriculum, our struggle curriculum. Even if you're not getting it at school, you should be getting it at home. And those that are caretakers, may you be over a foster home, or may you be over just a caretaker for elderly or a relative, that you should train yourself or be required to be trained in healthy lifestyle measures and education and skills. You should get a certificate in that from the Black Institute of Good Health, which we need to have an overarching perspective of health and well-being. That's the only thing I'm saying. There's a lot more information that we need to look at by going all the way back to ancient history and the first health programs and nutritional programs, going from food gatherers to food producers, puts you in more control. But at the same time, the natural thing is to gather food, go out, pick it, in its natural being, and you know, eat it, you know, nuts and berries and things of that nature and things of that nature. So I just want to say I really enjoyed the presentation, and I really thank everyone who participated. Asante Sana. Joe?
Yeah, dealing with this hound man over here. Brother Rasha Key, you might want to bring us on home and tell us what's coming up. But let me say about the bowel movement, whatnot, you know, water is essential. I used to go with a girl, she'd be in there moaning and groaning and whatnot, and I got her to drinking a lot of water, and that helped her out a lot, and she had to do that. So appreciating everyone tonight. Go ahead on, Brother Rasha Key, and tell us what's coming in the coming weeks.
Well, we got Brother Thomas coming on Wednesday, and Curse of Desegregation. I know that's going to be interesting. So I'm looking forward to that, as I do all the shows. And next week, Professor Ra, who we got? Okay, did you ever get it? We'll talk about it. Okay, so Conscious Corner, each one teach one.